Good morning. Good to be with you this morning. My name's Dan Moose. I'm a director of church planning for the Free Church in North Central District, which is mainly Minnesota, except for the northwest corner. And it's good to be here. It's kind of fun because Andy is now my pastor and I'm his boss. And that works fun. That's great. But in the Free Church, really, there's no hierarchy, so really I'm nobody's boss. I'm just out there doing whatever I'm supposed to do. A couple exciting things in church planting is, you know, St. Louis Park is planting out. Last week, Andrew was able to get the 100% mark in his support raising, which is great. Where's Ben at in his? Ben's at 73, so we need to keep praying there. A new church plant is starting down in Rochester. They're meeting in the Holiday Inn downtown, and they're coming out of the Calvary. They'll probably be going public in the middle of October. Then we had a church plant up in Duluth, which planted out a free church, which planted out a Baptist church. And people say, how does that happen? They said, well, what happened is the free church, the Baptist church wanted to send out a daughter church, but they'd never planted out a church. And they said, well, you free church guys know how to do it. Will you train our pastor and send them out? I said, yeah. And then they sent people with it. Because, again, it's not about what the title is or the name. It's about what? That we're reaching people for Christ. So now there's churches, another church in that area, and that's their second daughter church. So it's just great to see that God's doing that. And that excites me. And I'm excited about what you guys are doing at St. Louis Park. How's core group training coming, Andrew? Good. Hey, you know, there's one rule that I have. What's the rule that I have when I preach? That's it. If I ask the question, it's not rhetorical. Can you do that? Yeah. Okay, that's good. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the time we can come to share together. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you are here in our midst. And Lord, we're not alone. We'd ask today that your Spirit would just speak to our hearts. And Lord, help us to understand better what you've called us to be and do. And Lord, help us to understand that you want to work through us in a way that none of us fathom. And Lord, too often that we as your children do things in our own strength that you wanted to do through us in a supernatural way. Help us to see what you want to do. And Lord, give us ears to hear, hearts that are tender, so that we can be transformed, be more like you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Quick review. Two takeaways from last week's sermon. What were they? Oh, hey, Andy, I'm sorry about that. You remember last week's sermon was on how many were here last Sunday? Well, don't raise your hand because then you'd have to. You remember the two takeaways? One takeaway was the identity of Jesus. Do we have a true identity? Do we understand who Jesus is? And the second one was, remember what happened in Mount Transfiguration? He said, listen to him. How good are we at listening to God? And I think one reason we struggle with listening to God and we struggle following is because we don't really, as evangelicals, understand the fullness of God. What do you think of when you hear the word Holy Spirit? What's your thoughts? It's a question. I know it's early. Leader, okay. Fire, good. Comforter, good. Pardon? Companion, good. I'm having trouble up here. This is different being up here. Good. How do you feel about the Holy Spirit? Are you really open to the Holy Spirit? Have you ever been around the charismatic and you're a little scared of that? Huh? Yeah, I see head shaking now. Yeah? Why? We need to understand that God is not a God of fear, right? And we evangelicals have pushed him out. I was at a conference last two days down in Nashville, and we had two black brothers preaching. And the one was coming out of a charismatic background. And I'll tell you what, if you wanted to see excitement and fire and heat, and light. He preached and just a wonderful, but you know, I think too often we as Christians find ourselves doing stuff in our own strength. And then we wonder why we hit the wall. We wonder why the world doesn't see a changed life. It's because we're trying to do it in our own strength. And we need to stop and look at the scripture and really try to understand, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What's it mean to keep in step with the Holy Spirit? And that's what we're going to look at today. And you can take your Bibles and turn to Galatians 5. But as you turn there, a question, just so we get some things in the same, we're same page. What is the work of the Holy Spirit? Someone said comforter already. We're going to take that. He's a companion. What are some of the other works of the Holy Spirit that you know? To convict us of our sin. Good. Judge us in righteousness. Good. Exalt Christ. Always exalt Christ. And if you want to judge, you know, when you say, well, I'm kind of afraid of what the Holy Spirit might do, that's the quickest judgment or discerning way to figure out, is what he's doing pointing things to Jesus Christ? Whether it's in my life or whether it's in whoever's life. The passage for that's in John 14. Anything else the Holy Spirit does? Oh, it brings Christ's word back to our mind. Good. He also illumines the word. He makes the word so we can understand it, doesn't he? How about Acts 1? What's he say? What's the Bible say he does? 1:8. Power to do what? To be witnesses. He empowers us to witness. He empowers us to faithfully serve him and minister, 1 Corinthians 12 and following. He lives in us. In fact, in Romans, he said, he lives in you, he dwells in you. John 14 also says. And so what I want us to look at today is, how do we walk in the Spirit? And let's take time to turn to Galatians 5, 16 through 26. And I'm not just going to stay here. We're going to bounce around a little bit. But we'll touch on this a lot. Reading out of the ESV. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Verse 15, verse 18, and verse 25 all talk about us walking in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, Paul is saying, okay, I tell you to do what? Walk in the Spirit. What's that look like? Are we kind of floating along? But then he turns down in verse 18, he says, be led by the Spirit. And then he comes out in verse 25 and he says, if we live by the Spirit, we'll do what? We'll keep in step with the Spirit. Have you ever watched a marching band and seen one person out of step? Uh-huh. Looks kind of weird. That's the way I'd be. People ask me why I don't clap when I'm keeping the rhythm. I can't do it. I just can't do it. And I definitely couldn't do it in a walk. So I can't do that. And the trouble is, though, most of us as Christians have not figured out how to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, because if we're going to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, first of all, we have to hear his cadence. And we have to know it's his, right? And then what do we have to do? obey and walk. See, in American Christianity, we're still caught up in a Christianity that is so much about head knowledge. And what's God concerned with? Heart transformation that is lived out. Why does he say in Acts 1:8, I'll give you power to be my witnesses? Well, what he's saying is the Holy Spirit will so empower you and transform your life that then you'll have the power to witness out of who you are. Your life will be your witness as your mouth is your witness. But see, if we sit around and just get it up here, guys, what do we get? Well, we get worse than nothing. We get pride, right? We get arrogance. Our church is doing it right. Oh, we're the young, hip church, right? Very easy we can come that way. And that's not of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always pointing to who? Jesus Christ. He glorifies Christ. So how do we walk in the Spirit? How do we start that walk, and what's that look like? Well, first of all, he makes it very clear, as you notice there, looking in verse 17, if you're going to walk in the Spirit, it's not a normal walk, is it? It's not walking the way, because he says, you either are going to walk by the Spirit or you're going to walk by the flesh and your old nature. And so walking by the Spirit is totally different than walking by the flesh. When I walk by the flesh, who's my power? Who's my leader? Me or the devil or whatever, right? When I walk by the Spirit, who's my leader? God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, right? And there's total difference. And so we have to understand that walking by the Spirit is not something I do naturally. It's something that it comes by the supernatural transformation of the Holy Spirit. And that scares us. Because God might want to do something that you're not sure you want him to do. Can I let you in a secret? God will do something that you're not sure he wants you to do. But what's the goal? The goal is always that it glorifies Jesus Christ. And the goal that he wants to change you from within. And how do we let that happen? As we continue in that passage, then, he tells us, I think, how we need to do this. And I think the first thing that we have to realize, it's not here, and we'll get back to this passage, but the first thing we must do, if you're going to walk by the Spirit, you have to be in Jesus Christ. Folks, it's not just saying, I believe, it's being in Jesus Christ. You know the difference? The difference is there's just a lot of times we still as Christians have a head knowledge. And we've not bought in and said, okay, Jesus, whatever. But if you read John 14:17, Jesus himself says, the Spirit will dwell in you if you're in me. Romans 8:9-11, it talks about, Paul says, if you are in Christ, then the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead will do what? Live in you. And that's the first part of walking in the Spirit. But we need more than that. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit. Because in Ephesians 1, it says that when we believed, we were sealed by the Holy Spirit to guarantee our inheritance. But we're sealed. But then if you look on in Ephesians 5, and you can turn with me, turn to Ephesians 5:18 and following. And I could have had a whole sermon here too. I have about 4 sermons here, and I'm going to try to keep it down to at least 2 hours. But in 5:18, it says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. In the Greek, that's one sentence. That is one thought, so we need to keep it as one thought, and I'm not going to take time to preach it out as one thought. But he's telling us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In the Greek, what he's saying is be continually filled. That's not something that happened here and continued, that just because you're filled once, you're filled all you need to be. It says continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see the analogy he gives us? He talks about drunkenness. What do you have to do to get drunk? How much? As much as your body needs, right? How do you stay drunk? For how often? And come back in the morning and check, right? I had a dear friend that came to Christ, and he was telling me in his former life he had been on a 51-day binge. And before he was tough, but when Christ changed him, Christ set him free from alcohol, boom, when he came to Christ. But anyhow, Kenny said that, you know, you're just drinking all the time. Why does Paul use that analogy? And we got to take the Holy Spirit in what? Continually. But how do we do that? I think a lot of us are full of the Holy Spirit right now as we can be. I'd use the illustration of a 5-gallon bucket. If I had a 5-gallon bucket here, 3/4 full of rocks and dirt, and then put water in it to the top, I could say it's full of water, right? Because that's all you could see. How much water would be in it, though? Huh? A gallon and a half, right? What's the rest? Dirt and rocks. I think a lot of times we as believers have the dirt and rocks that we need to have the Holy Spirit remove so that he can fill us full. What's the dirt and rocks? Go back to your passage in Galatians. Because I think Paul makes it very clear. Paul says what? Now the fruit of the works of the flesh are what? Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgy, and the things like these. These are the rocks that are and dirt that fill up our buckets so that the Holy Spirit has no other room. And in fact, at the end of that passage, in verse 24, he says what? And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Why? So that we can be open to be continually filled with the Spirit. The trouble is, let's go back and look at that list a little bit. There's some of that list that you all and we all just as a church agree that that's flat sin. But you get there in verse 20, there's a couple of those that we're not going to say a whole lot about as a church. A lot of us overlook that idolatry thing, don't we? A lot of us overlook that strife thing, don't we? You know, that's a respectable sin. How about jealousy? Oh, that's all right. We could even get away with fits of rage if we don't do it too often, right? You know, you keep looking at that list. The list goes on there, and it says rivalries. Any of you competitive around here? God, I see those elbows even going. That's one thing that God's had to really break me of because I was so competitive. And the trouble with being competitive is what? I'm trying to be better than somebody else. And who's it about? Who's it about? Me. And if it's about me, it's not bringing glory to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit can't work in there unless I hear it and deal with it. Go on, look a little further there. It says rivalries, dissension. Do we want to get a little dirty down where we live? How many of us put up with gossip? Did you hear what I said? I didn't say you have to be a gossip. How many of us put up with gossip? You know, every now and then, oh, well, did you know what Pastor Andy did? and then someone tells a story? Is that gossip? Is that putting up with gossip? Could be, couldn't it? Do we say, hey, no? Or, and those are things that are sin that keeps us from being filled with the Holy Spirit. And he goes on, envying. Any of you have trouble with that? I love the musicians, the different musicians you use here. And I'll ask some questions. Do you musicians ever get to the point, well, boy, it'd be nice if I could do it the way that person did it. What's that? Because God's made you different. See, God wants to remove that. The Holy Spirit needs to convict us, and we need to do what? Repent. What's it mean to repent? Turn the other way. As he puts there in the 24th verse, he says, to repent, to crucify it, put it to death. Because we need to do that so we can be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit because I'm too prone to do it in my own strength. And every time I do stuff in my own strength and my own power, I always do it wrong. And then I come back later and ask God for forgiveness. And what does God do? He forgives me, but then we have to go and redo the whole thing again, right? So to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to take in more of the Holy Spirit. We need to honestly deal with the sins of our flesh and repent. But as you're dealing with the sins of our flesh, there's a passage in 1 Corinthians 12:3 that says that we can only call Jesus Lord, how? By the power of the Holy Spirit. See, and if we're talking about the Lordship of Jesus, then what's that mean? That's back to the same idea again. Where are we really repenting and submitting to His way and not our way in all things? You see, the Holy Spirit and Jesus are working together. They want us to be, the Holy Spirit wants to take the work of Jesus and apply it to our lives, and they want us all to be glorifying God in everything. And so if we're under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then we need to be submissive. We need to be putting to death under the power of the Holy Spirit as He speaks to us about those sin areas. And as we do that, then back to our passage in Galatians 5, what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit's going to start producing the fruit of the Spirit. What are the fruit of the Spirit? Look at verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Whose fruit is this? The Spirit's. Who's producing the fruit? What? Sure not us. The Spirit. How many fruit are there? What? Look at it again. You see what it says? The fruit is? You see that? Wow. I don't like that. You know why? Because I can't pick and choose. It's not like going into McDonald's or going into the restaurant and picking out what I want. The Holy Spirit wants to produce all this fruit in me. And I don't want him to. Do you? How many of you like that self-control bit? Anybody? Better yet, how many of you like that patience bit? Waiting. How many of you, when we get into a traffic jam, are just sitting there and saying, thank you, Jesus, I'm thankful, I'm focusing on things of God? Anybody? Let's be honest. How many of us are cursing and judging? You know what I say? You idiot. Oh, what did I just do? I judge somebody down the road because I like to drive in the left-hand lane. And you know, the left-hand lane in rush hour is always the slowest. Why? Because somebody in the left-hand lane didn't look ahead far enough to get over in the right-hand lane to get off, right? So what do? They stop that whole lane of traffic. You see, that's not the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of moose. That's the fruit of the flesh. And you know, God is saying that the Holy Spirit, He wants to produce all this fruit. Let's look at it. Love. That's the trademark of the Christian. Joy. That's not happiness. Joy is that contentment and that ability, even in no matter what happens, to see that God's in control and to still give Him praise for it, even though I'm going through the roughest times. Peace. That's my peace with God. But I can't have peace with God unless I really know Him. I can have forgiveness of sins, but peace. What about peace in times of struggles? What about peace when I'm really hurting and I can't trust God? Peace is having that, being able to lean back. Who has the little one right there, right up here in the front row? It's like this little baby right here. Just, I'm on mama's chest. I have the world by the tail. And I know she's taking care of me. That's what peace is. Even in a time of turmoil. Patience, waiting on God's time. Waiting for God to do it in my life, but then also waiting for God to do it in your life. How many of us have trouble with judging what God's doing in another person's life? Well, you should be further along in your walk with the Lord. You've been a Christian 10 years now, right? And that's very easy for us to judge. If we're patient, we're not judging people. How long did it take God to get you to where you are today? A long time. How about kindness? That's how we treat other people. Are you kind? That's thinking about them before thinking about yourself. We go up to talk to somebody, do we ask how they're doing? Or do we go and tell them what we're doing? When we're talking to another person, they're telling their story. In our mind, are we all of a sudden shifting gears? So we want to tell them what we want to tell them? About us? That's not kind. That's rude. It's also arrogant. I don't think that's fruit of the Spirit. What about goodness? God says nobody's good but Him. But goodness is that virtue of excellence. Gentleness. Are you gentle? Here's the one I really struggle with, self-control. If I see food, I do what? I eat. Also, self-control. What areas of your life does God want to control? And why is self-control so important? Why is self-control so important? Good. What else? That's great. Build on that. Affects everything you do. Good. What else? You're out of control if you don't have self-control. And if you don't have self-control, you can't give your body, we're to give our body to God as what? A living sacrifice, right? If you're out of control, you can't give your body back to God. You can't give yourself to God if you're out of control. And He says to give ourselves to Him, what? As a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And so, if we're going to be walking in the Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit to be producing this fruit. These fruit truly show a transformed life dependent on God. My wife and I love to garden. I love to plant. She takes care of it, and then I help harvest it. She has to weed and all that good stuff. But right now, we're at the place where the sweet corn is almost there. And, it's been fun because you start with the little plants growing up, and finally it gets a tassel, and there's no ears of corn on it yet. Then all of a sudden, out of one of those places, an ear starts to develop. The silk starts, and then pretty soon, now we have some ears of corn. Hopefully this week we're going to have sweet corn. But That was natural for the corn to produce that, wasn't it? God's saying, for those who are in Christ, it's natural for how many of these fruit to be in us? All of them. All of them. And we can't truly walk in the Spirit without Him being producing that. Yeah, we're going to be able to walk somewhat, but we're not going to be able to fully walk in the Spirit, and we're not going to be able to fully keep in step with the Spirit, and we're not going to be able to see God do supernatural things through us consistently if we're not allowing Him to produce that. And once He produces that, that gives us the character and the platform so that we can be His witnesses. Acts 1:8. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses to Jerusalem and all Judea and to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It also gives us the character and the platform so that we can be in ministry. Whether you're in the ministry here, whether you're in the ministry as Darius is back at home in his neighborhood, or you are in your community groups or wherever. See, we need this. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I have all the gifts, but have not what? Have not love. Have not the fruit of the Spirit, I am nothing. I'm a clanging gong. I'm a noisy cymbal. And the trouble with the American church many times is we're so gift-oriented, we forgot the fruit, and so that we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us so that the world can see Jesus. How is it that we have gone in my generation, I'm 60 years old, we have gone from a country where over half the people attended church to where today 18 or 19% attend church regularly? How is it we have gone from a place where we were the greatest mission sending country in the world to where now what is happening? We're the third largest mission field. Because I think we've tried to do so much in our own power. We've not allowed the Holy Spirit to transform us, and we've not lived off this basis of being transformed by the Holy Spirit through the fruit. So we were living it out, and we were telling people about it, and people wondered what we had. We still have the best secret in the world, right? We have what? The good news. We have the gospel. We know about Jesus. We sang about it. But in our city, there's a large majority of people who couldn't care less about what? Christianity. And I think part of the reason is we've done so much in our own strength. We've not allowed the supernatural transformation of the Holy Spirit to work in and through. Because we haven't did what? We haven't kept in step with the Holy Spirit. So how do we keep in step? Let me give you, just pull things back together. The first thing is, we have to be in Jesus Christ if you're going to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. The second thing is, you have to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. That is something we need to be desiring. That is something that we need to, He is someone who we need to be allowing to fill us daily. We need to be in our prayer life. We need to be asking the Holy Spirit to show us, turn the floodlight on our heart of the things of the flesh that we need to get rid of so there's room so that He can work in us. And also, I'm going to take it one step further. It's not in the book, but I'm going to be practical. I need 3 or 4 guys who can help, and my wife who can help speak in as the Holy Spirit sees stuff. About a year ago, I was working through something, and I went home and I said, Cheryl, I said, am I judgmental? And she goes, what? Are you judgmental? And I had to stop and look at myself. I had not seen myself in the judgmental way that somebody had enlightened me. And I needed Cheryl to confirm it. I went to a couple of my brothers, and they said, yeah, Moose, you're judgmental. You need to deal with that. That's sin. That's why we need to be in community. But we need to let people tell us the hard answers. You like that? I don't, but we need it. Because we need to allow the Holy Spirit to be working. Thirdly, we need to allow and expect the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And we need to say, whatever you want to do it, however you want to do it, you can do it. When you came to Jesus Christ, you said, I'll follow you, right? And you signed a blank, blank page at the bottom, right? And said, I'll follow, right? You didn't tell him how you'd follow. But we like to change it when we get saved. But we need to go back and let him do what he wants. We need to be living under the lordship of Jesus Christ. We need to be submissive to the Holy Spirit's leading. And so if we're submissive, as we're in our Bible study and God speaks to us, what do we have to do? We have to deal with it right then. And start to practically live it out. And then we need to know that the Spirit is leading us. And the only way you're going to do that is you have to get in the Word. Folks, time in the Word. I was out of ministry for 4 years, and God took me out for good reasons, but he taught me a lot. And one thing he taught me is that when we're out there working the regular 50-hour-a-week job, it's hard to get that time alone with Jesus, isn't it? Any of you have that trouble? Finding time for Jesus? And I was a preacher. I'd been a preacher for 25 years. And I found out after about 3 months of work that I wasn't having any time at all with the Lord. So I had to change my whole schedule around. I had to start getting up like I used to as a farm boy at 5:30 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, because I had to be on the road at 5:30 to do what? Because when we come home tired at the end of the day, how much does it help us? Are we willing to get in the Word? Not only do we have to be time in the Word, but we have to be time alone with God. We have to be at a place where God can speak to us and we can hear from God. And then we need to ask and expect the Spirit to lead you and work in you and through you. I think that's one thing we don't expect. We don't expect the Holy Spirit to lead us each day. We might pray that today, but are you going to pray that tomorrow twice? Are you going to pray and say, Lord, lead me? Lord, open the opportunities. And then am I going to be willing to hear him? And then we need to follow. In closing, I got some thoughts to ponder. Thoughts to ponder is the Holy Spirit living in you? If you're in Christ, he's living in you. But have you given him rein? Or have you just put him in this Sunday compartment? Secondly, are you living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Are you being continually filled? Are you responding to anything and everything the Holy Spirit can fix you of? You want to write something down in your notes? Write down what the Holy Spirit's convicting you of today. What's he put on your heart? What's he said to you? What's he saying you need to do? Write that down. Then sometime this week, come back and really ponder. Thirdly, is your life marked by the fruit of the Spirit? Would the people who know you say, hey, yeah, that guy has love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and faithfulness, self-control? Could you go to work tomorrow and say, hey, guys, would you judge me on these 9 attributes of the fruit of the Spirit this week? Willing to do that one? And it'd be good to let the non-Christian do it. Because I think they might be very honest, won't they? But it'd be good to have the Christian also. Finally, you daily desire and expect to be led by the Holy Spirit. I find myself I have to do that moment by moment. God leads us different ways. I went through a tough time this last fall, where God literally woke me up, and it wasn't an audible voice, but it was as close as it could be. He says, Moose, you can do nothing about this, and you have to trust me. Well, number one, I want to do something. I want to fix it. And yes, I trust you, but I'm still going to help you. No? You guys must do the same way as I do. The next day, he woke me up with another thing. And for about 15 days in a row, God literally spoke something directly into my life. Part of it was through other people. But I'm still struggling with learning the daily. Because when I get tired, I'm not daily expecting. I'm not daily asking. What about you? Remember, to keep in step, you have to hear the beat. Is that right? And then you have to step in with it. It takes time, practice, and submission to the Holy Spirit's leading to keep in step with it. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for your word. We thank you for what you want to do in us. And Lord, I thank you so much that you have not left us to our own doing. I thank you for the power that you want to work in us and through us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help each one of us to be willing and available and humble. Lord, don't let this be another exercise in just hearing. But Father, help us to be doers as we go and yield to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name.